The Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, that's got to be one of the best introductory sentences of all time, don't you think? It's from John 1:1, where our study begins today on Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, will take us through the first 18 verses of chapter 1. I can't wait to get started. But before we do, I want to take a minute and let you find your seat on the Bible bus and get settled. So while you do, I'll share a quick comment from TTB's Facebook page left by a fellow Bible bus rider named Kevin from Tennessee. I'm learning more about Moses and Aaron on my ride through Exodus. My morning starts with this as I go to work. Hearing about God's word reaching distant lands in different cities is refreshing, especially hearing about the lives of those that are choosing to follow Jesus. This morning, the teaching of Moses got me thinking about how to stay diligent to the tasks that the Lord has given me. I will now stay faithful and watch him work his power because, in the end, his plans and outcomes are for his glory. Well, thanks, Kevin. It's great to hear what you're learning from our time together in God's Word. What's God teaching you through our studies? I'd love to know. Here are some of the ways that you can get in touch. You can call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE to leave a message on our listener testimony line. You can email BibleBus@ttb.org, or you can write to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. Or like Kevin, you can leave a message on TTB's Facebook page. It really does brighten our day to hear from you, so get in touch today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless the teaching of your word as it goes out to the world today. We humble our hearts and ask that you would quiet our minds so that we can understand the truths that you're ready to teach us. In Jesus' incomparable name we pray. Amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we come back to the Gospel of John, and we are in this section that is a prologue to the Gospel, first 18 verses. And these first three verses contain four tremendous statements, and last time we got as far as the first one. In the beginning was the Word. And this word, Word, as we said, is one of the highest and most profound titles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to determine the exact meaning, I don't think it's easy. Obviously, the Lord Jesus Christ is not the logos of Greek philosophy. Rather, he's the memra of the Hebrew Scriptures, the Word of God. And notice how important the word is in the Old Testament. For instance, the name for Jehovah was never pronounced. It was such a holy word that they never used it at all. But this is the one who is the Word, and gathering up everything that was said of him in the Old Testament, he is now presented as the one in the beginning. Now, as we said before, this beginning antedates the very first words in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That beginning can be dated, although I do not believe that anyone can date it accurately. It's nonsense to say that it's 4004 B.C. as Usher's dating has it. It probably goes back billions and billions of years. You see, you and I are dealing with the God of eternity, and when you go back to creation, he's already there. And that's exactly the way this is used. In the beginning was the Word. Notice it is not is the Word. It was in the beginning that the Word started out or was begotten. Was is known as a durative imperfect. I'm being technical now for a minute. And the meaning is that it's continued action. It means that the Word was in the beginning. What beginning? Well, just as far back as you want to go. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Does that begin God? No. just keep on going back billions and trillions and squillions of years. I can think back to billions of years back of creation. Maybe you can go beyond that, but let's put down a point there. Billions of years back of creation, he already was. He comes out of eternity to meet us. He did not begin. In the beginning was the Word. He was already there when the beginning was. Well, somebody says there has to be a beginning somewhere. All right. Wherever you begin, he's there to meet you. He's already past tense. In the beginning was the Word. Five words in the original language. And there's not a man on top side of this earth who can put a date on it or understand it or fathom it. This first tremendous statement starts us off in space, you see. Now, the second statement is this, and the Word was with God. This makes it abundantly clear that he's separate and distinct from God the Father. You cannot identify him as God the Father because he's with God. But someone says if he's with God, he's not God. Well, the third statement sets us straight. The Word was God. This is a clear, emphatic declaration that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. In fact, the Greek is more specific than this, because in the Greek language, the important word is placed at the beginning of the sentence, and it reads, God was the Word. And friends, that's emphatic. You cannot get it more emphatic than that. Do you want to get rid of the deity of Christ? My friend, you cannot get rid of it. The first three statements in John's gospel tie the thing down. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, will you notice? The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And he's the creator also. All things were made by him. Jesus is the creator. Now he keeps on. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. Now, in him was life. That doesn't mean he was alive. Of course, that was true. But there was life. You see, men need life because they're all dead in trespasses and sins. You remember Paul said to the Ephesians, that's the way that he began that second chapter. He said, ye were dead in trespasses and sins, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You see, what men need today is life, and in him was life, and the life was the light of man, and Jesus is light. And you'll notice now he's contrasted to John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. John the Baptist bore witness to the light. He was not the light. He just bore witness to the light. And we're told the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now, will you notice what it says here? That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now we have here a tremendous statement. You see, light comes through the Word of God. Without the Word of God, there's no light. And when men come to the Word of God, they're in the light. If we walk in the light, as he's in the light, what light? The light of the Word of God. And this light lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That is, any man that comes to the light. It's just like the sun. It lights every man that comes into the sunlight. But those that are way down in the caves of the earth, it doesn't light them. You have to come to the light. Now it says he was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That is the tragedy of the world. It's still the tragedy of the world, that the Creator came down to this earth and took upon himself our humanity, and yet the world didn't know him, and the world rejects him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Some like to limit that to the nation he came, to his own people. It can be widened out. He came unto his own world, because he's been talking about he made the world. He came to his own world, and his own world received him not. It's a universal rejection of him. But notice, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, life is received, therefore, by the new birth. Notice what he says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the sons of God, even that believe on his name. And it comes through faith, and it says, which were born. It's the life that's received by the new birth, and that comes by faith, by receiving Christ, which were born not of blood. Now, that means natural generation. Then it's not by the will of the flesh. That means that you don't become a child of God by your own self-effort, by something you do, your good works, nor of the will of man. That's education and training. You don't become a child of God by training. You become a child of God by being born again, because it says, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. It's the direct action of the Spirit of God, as the Lord Jesus will say in the third chapter, born of the Spirit. You must be born of the Spirit. Now we come here to three more statements. We had actually four statements back in the first three verses. But here now in verse 14, we have three more statements. And the Word was made flesh, and the Word dwelt among us. And we beheld, third, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now the Word was made flesh. I want you to look at that for just a moment. The Greek philosopher probably would have stayed with us through verse 1, but he leave us here because he'd never agree that the Word was made flesh. The Greek language also allows us to put it more specifically, and I think more accurately, the Word was born flesh. And now turn this over in your mind for a moment. Here comes God out of eternity. He's already the Ancient of Days, but he also came to Bethlehem. George MacDonough said it, they were looking for a king to lift them high. He came a little baby thing that made a woman cry. And notice that John's gospel doesn't even mention his birth in Bethlehem. You know why? He's talking about one who's too big for Bethlehem. He comes out of eternity, and he takes upon himself our humanity. The Word became flesh, or was born flesh. Now here's the Christmas story that's in John's gospel, and it's very important to see that he was born flesh, and the only way it could take place was by the virgin birth, you see. The writer to the Hebrews says in Hebrews 2:16, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, and he took part of flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now there's some that think that these statements that are made here, which were born, that it not only refers to the new birth of the believer, but it speaks of his birth. He was born not of blood. That is, he was not born in a human way, that is, by human effort, nor the will of the flesh, but human effort, the will of man. But he was born of God, and the Word was made flesh. What a statement here. The Word was made flesh. Here is the Christmas story. He was born flesh. Unto us A child is born unto us, a son is given. The little child was born in Bethlehem, but the Son came out of eternity. The Word was born flesh. Now, the second statement is, the Word dwelt among us. And the word dwelt here is skeneo, and it means to just pitch a tent. Skeneo means a tent. Our human bodies here are just little tents in which we live, and they're just as frail as a tent, friends. The Apostle Paul used the same imagery. He says, we know that if this tabernacle be dissolved, that is, this house in which we live is a tabernacle. It's a little tent, and it can be blown over in a night. A little wind can blow it over. It can be snuffed out in an instant. And because you and I live in these little tents, the God of eternity came down to this earth, and he took upon himself a human body and pitched his tent here among us. And that's a second tremendous statement. And notice the third. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now he's saying something else. The question I'd naturally ask at this point is, if he was made flesh, he certainly limited himself. John says, wait a minute. He was full of grace and truth. The word full means that you just could not have any more. He brought all the deity with him. He was full of grace and full of truth when he came down here. How tremendous this is. And now we have here John bear witness of him. And John cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. It's out of the fullness of Christ, for the pleroma of Christ. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. This is the one we're talking about. Now we come to a third great statement that's made here. No man hath seen God at any time. That is one that runs all the way through the Scripture. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now, we have here the first, no man hath seen God at any time. Why? Well, he's going to explain it in this gospel. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ will tell the woman at the well that God's a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, for God is spirit. No man has seen God at any time. What about the appearances in the Old Testament? God never revealed himself in the Old Testament to the eyes of man. What then did they see? Well, go back and read the record. For instance, Jacob said that he saw God, but what he saw was the angel of the Lord who wrestled with him. That was a manifestation, but he did not see God because God's a spirit. No man has seen God at any time. And I noticed that second statement. The only begotten Son that's in the bosom of the Father. Believe me, friends, some translate this, even Nestle, the great German scholar, the only begotten God. Well, I like that. He's in the bosom of the Father. And that tells us a great deal. He didn't come from the head of God to reveal the wisdom of God, and he didn't come from the foot of God to be a servant of man. Have you ever noticed that he was a servant, but God's servant? He didn't shine shoes. He didn't run on errands. He didn't do what man asked him to do. He says, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. He's God's servant. Came to serve him. Came from the bosom of the Father. He did not come from the feet. He did not come from the head. It was from the bosom of the Father that he came. He came to reveal the heart of God. He's the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. And the third statement completes verse 18. He hath declared him. And the Greek word here is exegeseto. Agos to lead and ex is out. Means to exegete. It means that what Jesus Christ did was to lead God out in the open. Do you want to know anything bigger than that? A little trip to the moon's nothing in comparison. Here he comes out of eternity past, the God of this universe, the creator of everything, taking upon himself human flesh and bringing God out into the open so that men can know him. My friend, the only way in the world you can know God is through this one, Jesus Christ. He came to reveal God because he is God. And I'm not through with these statements. There's something else here. I haven't time to go into all of it. But notice the statements in verses 1 and 2 and then verse 14, verse 18. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was made flesh. No man hath seen God at any time. You could not see God. God's a spirit. He had to become flesh. He had to become one of us in order for us to know him. We would not go up there to understand him. He had to come down here and bring God down where we are. Now let's put the second statements in these three together. The Word was with God, verse 1, and dwelt among us, verse 14. Verse 18, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. Consider this one for a moment. The angels bowed before him. He was with God, on an equality with God. The Apostle Paul wrote to him, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That is, he did not go to school to become God. It was something that he didn't have to work overtime to attain. It was not a degree that he earned. He did not try to be God. He was God. I do not mean to be irreverent, but he did not say to the Father when he came to this earth, keep your eye on Gabriel. I think he's after my job. Watch him while I'm gone. He didn't have to do that. Nobody could take his place. He was God. And here he comes, born in Bethlehem. A few little shepherds there, not many. He goes up to Nazareth, 30 years hidden away in Nazareth, in that little miserable town. God out of eternity coming down and going to Nazareth, working in a carpenter shop. Why? Well, so you can know God, friend. The only way you'll ever know him, my friend, is to know this one, the only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father. He's the only one who can reveal God to us. Now notice the third statement in each group. The Word was God, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the third, he hath declared him. When he was down here, he was still God, full of grace and truth, and he declared him. He's the only one who can lead him out in the open where we can get acquainted with him, and we're not through with this. I want you to see something else. How do you divide up this universe? I sat with a man who designed the shield that's been on all these spacecrafts to make their reentry. He's a scientist who's an authority on heat. As we had lunch together in New Jersey, he said, you know, this universe is made up of just three things. I believe that God has put his fingerprints on everything. The Trinity's everywhere. Then he explained what he meant. He says this universe is divided up into time, space, and matter. Can you think of a fourth, friend? The very interesting thing is that time, space, and matter include everything that's in this universe as you and I know it. Then time can be divided into just three parts, past, present, and future. Can you think of a fourth? And what about space, length, breadth, and height? Is there another direction? Also, there is in matter, energy, motion, and phenomena. Those are the three divisions of the three divisions. The universe in which we live bears the mark of the Trinity. Now notice the way in which the incarnation is geared into this observation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Time, space. The Word was made flesh, became flesh, came down into space. Where to Bethlehem, a little geographical spot here on this earth. And matter, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Because he became a man, took upon himself humanity, men can see and know God. This is the time, space, and matter of the incarnation. And you can further divide this, and we may try that next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
As Dr. McGee told us yesterday, the words of John are certainly simple, but the meaning is deep. To help you get the most out of these studies, visit our website, ttb.org to download Dr. McGee's notes and outlines for John. You can also read a study guide introduction for John there as well. Now, if we can help you find any of these resources to deepen your own personal study of God's Word, just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Invite a friend to listen to today's study with you or to join us for the entire study of John. They can find many listening options at ttb.org. From station listings to apps, podcasts, and even TTB broadcasts in other languages, the information is at your fingertips when you visit ttb.org. Hop aboard the Bible bus tomorrow as we continue our 5-year journey through God's entire Word. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving a seat just for you.
Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.